Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday, live in Los Angeles. The show is called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The razor, I shave every day at FS1 with an electric razor. It's broken.
So, I didn't get that fixed for Colin Cowherd.
Some budget issues, perhaps. Don't have a new one in yet, 3 days and counting. So I'm a little...
You don't have an Amazon account?
I know, it doesn't seem that difficult, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Like I said yesterday, we've already grown accustomed to bearded Colin, so...
Yeah, I mean, not shocking for the audience.
It's the summer,
I look like Tom Hanks at the end of Castaways. You know, I'll eventually clean it up when I get off the island.
But
right
dramatic.
Now, I'm talking to volleyballs, and it's not... look like I haven't shaved in a couple of days. So, you know, it's... What the NFL does is... And I never like to be a buzzkill. The NFL offers... It's the sport of hope. Like in baseball, you know, we got no salary cap. So, I mean, the Dodgers can go out. They're already loaded and just go, oh, we're going to buy Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. I mean, the bottom line is the Dodgers have more talent than virtually every roster in the sport. And they can just keep adding it. Depends on what the owners, how much they want to win or make this year. In the NBA, we all know that one or two great players, you're in the playoffs, and there's like a third of the league is not even competitive, and half of the league has no chance to win a title, probably more than that. But in the NFL, the floor, there's very few bad teams. Like Houston right now, if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, that's a bad football team. I think Philadelphia is going to be a pretty bad football team. You know, even Detroit, and they're not going to be a good football team. I mean, they have a quarterback who went to a Super Bowl, and Dan Campbell has coached before and won games. And from his comments yesterday, he's got a good roster of guys that he really likes. And I thought they had a very good draft, by the way. I thought the Lions had a very good draft. So I was critical. So because there's so much hope in the NFL is that I don't want to be a buzzkill. I like all fan bases to be motivated and happy. It's nobody wants to buzzkill it, but I've said I have real doubts about Zach Wilson, and it's not just about Zach. Zach's clearly talented. He throws a beautiful football. He's got a nice arm. Looks a little small. You know, in college, I went to the games. He played the best coaches, Chris Peterson, Kyle Whittingham. He couldn't beat him. Beat a lot of bad teams, and it's like, you know, it's not a great conference he played in. They don't play a lot of defense out there. So here are the facts. In the last decade, on average, 4 quarterbacks are taken in the first round. Don't let those facts get in the way of your feelings. 4. It's about 3.5. We'll round it up. Make every person whole. It's 4. 1, on average, is a star. 2, it's bumpy. 1's a bust. Well, let's just go to recent history. Last year's quarterbacks, the first round guys, right? Justin Herbert is the star. Tua and Burrow, it's bumpy. Joe Burrow's got a bad organization. Tua had a bad hip, and there's limitation. And Jordan Love, reports are not encouraging. I'll just leave it at that. True to form, that's kind of where we're at. So this draft had Trevor Lawrence with a great... Now, let's just think about this. Trevor Lawrence with a legendarily good offensive coach, Urban Meyer. We'll see if he segues, but I believe he's the most talented guy, and that's what scouts say. Trey Lance, Super Bowl roster, great offensive coach. Justin Fields got a very clever offensive coach that got Mitch Trubisky into the playoffs. And Mac Jones has the best coach ever. And then there's Zach Wilson with a rookie coach, a first-time play caller, and you tell me who's his best offensive teammate. Corey Davis, wide receiver, who was viewed largely as a bust. Tevin Campbell, bounce around the league running back. McKay Becton, a second-year left tackle. He is entering a really, really tough spot. I mean, even Andrew Luck, when he took over for those bad Colts teams, had T.Y. Hilton, an emerging star at receiver, and old Reggie Wayne, first year had 1,300 yards, and Bruce Arians, a veteran coach who had had success around the league as a coordinator for multiple teams. It's a tough spot for Zach Wilson. So it's like, oh, you don't think Zach will. Folks, we know what I'm about to say is true. We know what I'm about to say is true. Where you land will eventually decide your success, with very few exceptions. I mean, it's not a shock. Russell Wilson with Pete Carroll and that defense first couple of years, you don't think that helped Russell Wilson? That he didn't have to throw it 45 times his first couple of years? Where you land, Brady doesn't have the same success if he doesn't go to New England. If he goes to Jacksonville, he probably has four different coaches. So it's not anti-Zach Wilson. A little small to me, a little cocky. His background, you know, uncle's worth $400 million. That's a little different than the average quarterback. We've said this before with quarterbacks. Being kicked around helps. Aaron Rodgers, junior college. Brady, sixth round. Russell Wilson, third round. Dak, fourth round. Big Ben, Miami of Ohio. Matt Ryan, Boston College. We have a 25-30-year petri dish of proof. If you struggled and scrapped and had to overcome a lot, not a lot of rich kids, you know, are starting quarterbacks. You need to get pushed around and beat and doubted in junior college. And look around the league now. Patrick Mahomes, losing record in college. Josh Allen, Wyoming. Look around. Lamar Jackson, nobody thought he could throw the football at the NFL level. Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's great. Literally, Joy and I spent a month on this show saying, we don't understand. I don't understand it. Everybody's like, mechanical. Inconsistent. So I'm just saying, I think Zach Wilson, he's the guy I look at, and I think that is a tough spot. Fourth best coach in his division, and I'll make another guess. His coordinator is the least experienced, could be the fourth best offensive coordinator in division, potentially. Not Josh McDaniels, we know that. So you start looking at what Miami has on the outside, Will Fuller. And you start looking at Jalen Waddle. I mean, Mike Gesicki, the tight end. You start looking at Miami's weapons and Buffalo's weapons. Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs. Now they have Emmanuel Sanders. You start looking at the weapons all these other guys have, and it's like the only team where, I mean, he's got the worst weapons in the division. And the youngest coach. And a first-time play caller. It's not a negative thing that we know in the last decade. Four quarterbacks first round, star, two bumpy, one bust. It's the way it goes. And it's over. The bust is usually a kid who's a good prospect, not a great prospect, a good prospect, and he enters a really bad situation. I love the Jets GM. I think Joe Douglas has had back-to-back really good drafts, but ownership there, coaching, a lot of question marks. They just don't have a lot of offensive talent. Greg Jennings, Fox Sports analyst now, joining us live. 10 years in the league, 7 with the Packers, 2-time Pro Bowler. I know everybody always gets mad at me when I, you know, Green Bay was a situation where, even if you go back to Favre, you had Mike Holmgren. You had, the bottom line is the Green Bay situation. Favre and Aaron Rodgers, first of all, are historically gifted quarterbacks, and they had really, really great, you know, offensive systems. But let's go back to Aaron Rodgers' first year, Greg, when he was talented. So he sat for 3 years. We know he's super smart. The Packers were really well run. And go back to Aaron Rodgers' first year. If I recall, he won 6 or 7 games. What do you remember from it?
Well, he entered into an offense that was primed and ready for him to just jump in and continue what we had already established with Brett Favre. And so what that looked like, you got to remember, we were coming off of a 13-3 season, NFC championship lost against the New York Football Giants, and here comes insert Aaron Rodgers because of what Brett Favre decided to do, retire, come back. We all know the story. Well, we felt like everything is in place. Everyone knew we weren't heavily running the ball. So the running game was always what it was. But we were a passing team. You get the ball out, we make plays, yak yards. It was a part of our running offense. Aaron Rodgers, all he had to do was come in and just continue the success that was already displayed. And he did that. He was effective. He threw for over 4,000 yards. Like we had two 1,000-yard receivers. We had over 1,000-yard rusher. everything was ready and primed for him to have success. And you are 100% accurate when you say where you land will directly determine almost 99% of the time the success rate of the individual.
All right, so Dak Prescott's getting a second MRI. I always say everything's something, nothing is everything. It feels like something. Well, it's telling me basically he's got soreness and they can't figure out what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something. Anytime you get a second anything, it's because whatever you did the first time, it's like, wait, let's go double check, because I'm still having symptoms or I'm still feeling something that I feel like I shouldn't, and we can't identify it.
Yeah.
I have kids, I've had MRIs. The only time I get a second MRI is when the first one, I'm telling, we reviewed it and I'm still having the symptoms that I conveyed and I was able to disseminate to the personnel the first time. Then we go, let's do it again to see if things have changed. That's what they're doing. So it draws concern. It promotes concern when you talk about a player who missed 11 games last year due to an injury, who you paid millions of dollars, over $160 million. Like, let's not forget the value that he provides and the driving force he is to whether or not the Dallas Cowboys are even going to be competitive or talked about. Is the on the arm of Dak Prescott and whether or not it's healthy, not just if he's under center, but if he's healthy.
Yeah, he's going to have to win some shootouts here because we still don't have a clue how good this defense is. The secondary is in a rebuild and the pass rush is inconsistent. So a Saturday night Jordan Love debuts. And I said this yesterday, all the other young quarterbacks who are debuting are going to have to start very quickly. So coaches are going to put some stuff, they're going to load the playbook up. They want to see him under duress. Right? Like, because Mac Jones is going to play, let's get him up to speed. Justin Fields had a great practice today, reportedly. Let's get him up to speed. Jordan Love isn't going to play. And the Packers have been ripped for the pick. And my gut feeling is they're going to set him up to succeed Saturday night. Like, this is going to be a little bit, it's going to feel different. The last thing they want, he struggles, already being in there a year with the same system. And guys like me and you and everybody's out there going, oh, my God, what is wrong? So you tell me, what do you expect Saturday? Let's start with that. What do you expect from Jordan Love Saturday?
So I expect what you just said, them to put him in positions to where he feels most comfortable and where he's most effective. But they're going to try to establish the running game. That's going to be number one. It's what Matt LaFleur does. It's how he likes to establish his offense, create that tempo. And from there, I want to see, does Jordan Love have what it takes? Is he going to command the huddle? Is he going to command the offense? How comfortable is he pushing the ball down the field, making those run check pass plays to run plays? Is he putting us offensively in the best decisions? Because we know with that offense, they're going into the huddle every single time with more than one play. And so he's going to have to be able to scan the field, understand what he sees, decipher it, and make a decision. Can he do that? Now, even with that, he's going to have pressure. Even knowing he's not going to play this season, he feels pressure. Why? Because he knows he's the guy moving forward. He wants to be the guy moving forward, and he wants to showcase. Anyone who knows that they're on deck, they want to put their best on display when they're given the opportunity. He's going to be given three opportunities to put his work on display, and he's going to want more than anyone for all those opportunities to look and to come out being his best performances.
Yeah, it's interesting. For game one, preseason game one, generally it's not a big game plan game, is it? It's kind of just like, you tell me, what's game one of a preseason? If a quarterback struggles, is it more of a, well, it's game one, let's wait, or take me to your game one preseason?
See, game one is tough because you can come out looking great and it's like, oh, keep them in there. Or you come out and you don't do anything and it's like, well, it was just a filler game. We just wanted to get our ones out there against another opponent and see how we were going to line up and different things like that. Well, in this case, we know who the Green Bay Packers are. We know what they have. The only thing that will make them look different is under center. Like, so there is no, okay, how are they going to look? Well, if Aaron Rodgers was in there, we wouldn't question any of it because the proof is in the pudding. We know what he's going to provide during the regular season. Jordan Love, however, you have these new weapons. You have all these pieces around you, but we haven't seen you under center performing with these pieces. And that is what we potentially will see here in the near future. So you have a lot more to prove than anyone. So going into this game one, it's going to look a little different. They're going to all talk the same and say, oh, we're going to still go out. We would have had the same approach with Aaron Rodgers. No, you wouldn't. The expectation is going to be a little different. You as a play caller and a head coach and teammates are going to want to see Jordan Love and what he has to offer in a real game.
By the way, I watched that Hard Knocks. Dan Quinn swears every other word. Mike McCarthy drops a bunch of F-bombs. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, is that really what it's like? Or are these guys playing for the television? Is it that profane all the time at camp?
It is profane, but I always tend to think with cameras, everyone puts on a little bit extra. And that's why I've never been a fan of wanting to be a part of Hard Knocks, because just treat me the same, whether the camera's on or off, just be who you are. And so anytime the camera's on, especially coaches or any trainers or anyone who's facilitating or trying to get someone to execute, it's like they want to push a little harder. Whoa. Let's all stay the same here. Let's not put on just because the camera's a little brighter, a little hotter, and more eyeballs are going to watch us. We still got to execute. We still wanted to get it done the right way.
All right, Greg Jennings, good seeing you. Look great as always, bud. Appreciate you coming on the herd today.
Absolutely.
All right, tonight, Mac Jones. So we have Washington goes to Foxborough to face Mac Jones. That's the best pass rush in the NFL. The Steelers play Philadelphia?
Yes.
Steelers play Philadelphia.
Steelers, Philadelphia, Washington, Patriots. Titans, Falcons tomorrow. Bills, Lions tomorrow.
Oh.
Cowboys, Cardinals tomorrow.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Dolphins, Bears, Saturday.
Very good. And plus we have the Field of Dreams baseball game tonight.
Yes, yeah.
Here on Fox. Is that, that's Fox.
Yes.
Field of Dreams baseball game.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, the Yankees and White Sox travel to Iowa in the site of the most beloved baseball movie of all time to play a historic regular season matchup on the real Field of Dreams. You don't want to miss it. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on Fox.
How are the Yankees playing right now? They've been playing good, and the Red Sox have been reeling over the last couple of weeks. Isn't that what's happening right now? White Sox have a lot of talent. They had a lot of preseason projections, but Yankees are... To see the Yankees play in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing, actually. Now, I said this yesterday. It's my second favorite. This movie gets criticized all the time.
Does it?
Oh, today I go on the interweb, and it's all like, this movie's overrated. No, it's not. There's a lot of overrated sports movies. I like Bull Durham because I worked in minor league baseball. It's a great movie. Any movie that makes me feel a certain way. And when that guy comes out of the dad comes out of the cornfield to play with his son.
I mean, I've never heard anyone say Field of Dreams is overrated.
Well, if they are, punch him right in the neck.
I mean, what does that even mean?
Because people thought it was hokey and not believable. And to that,
it's a sports movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie. There's a difference between fact and truth. The Elton John movie Rocket Man was the truth.
Wonderful.
It was great. So it's the truth. Was every sentence factual? No, because he was so stoned out of his gourd for half his career before he got cleaned up. There's a lot of things you're kind of guessing what
Elton... Yeah, it was also a musical. You think all of Elton John's life, there was just people running up and down the street singing next to him?
Right?
People are ridiculous.
So with Field of Dreams, the Field of Dreams isn't factual, but a lot of it is the truth about America and baseball and dads, and it's the truth, but it's not factual. There's a lot of messages in Field of Dreams that are very wholesome and very wonderful.
I'm just excited to see. It's just going to be such a... I mean, I love minor league games.
I used to work for a minor league baseball
team.
Yeah,
I know.
It's fun.
Like, if you haven't ever been to a... And this isn't obviously going to be a minor league atmosphere per se, because it's in a cornfield in Iowa.
It looks like a minor league stadium. Yeah, yes. It's a tiny park.
But minor league games are a really fun experience.
But I'm going to tell you something. You go to Asheville, North Carolina. You go to these small, great towns in America where you can take your family to a minor league game for $60.
Oh, it's so affordable. They always have like these fun, quirky little food items.
It's fantastic.
And, like, Star Wars Day, and it's just, they're fun.
They really are. I worked for a minor league team for years, even though it was in glitzy Vegas. It was great. Fireworks shows and seat cushion
night.
And
the players are just right there.
And my first interview was Captain Dynamite. I told you about that. Yes. I interviewed Captain Dynamite. And he blew himself up. That's what minor league baseball teams have, people, performers like that.
And who was your...
You
interviewed Captain Dynamite, and then who was your... Someone was like your first player interview.
Was
it Tony Gwynn?
Tony Gwynn was my first interview. The great, legendary, wonderful Tony Gwynn. My first interview was Captain Dynamite. I worked for a local station and the baseball team, and I asked him after he blew himself up, can you hear? And he said, yep, I'll have another beer. And then my first story I ever did on the air was a little kid who jumped on his tricycle over neighborhood kids. He was like a little Evel Knievel. He became a Minnesota Twins. He became a Major League Baseball player. My life's got all sorts. And I also have a mobster came after me one time in Vegas.
I feel like you should write. You know, I know you're out of the book writing business.
Too hard.
But so maybe do like a podcast series on your life in Vegas.
Oh, you don't even.
You're not ready to reveal all that yet?
Some of it is just not worth being produced. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I didn't live in Vegas at any point, and I could do a podcast series on my experiences in Vegas. It's just what Vegas does to you.
That's what it does.
So Trey Lance will get his first in-game reps for the 49ers when they kick off their preseason schedule on Saturday. Kyle Shanahan said this morning that the 49ers' tentative plan against the Chiefs is for Jimmy Garoppolo to play the first series, and then the rookie will finish the first half.
So excited.
And Lance is already looking forward to his first NFL experience.
Excited.
Super excited. Yes, excited to go out and compete with this locker room of guys. And kind of at the same time, everything's new, like you said. So just being able to get used to everything from you know, the hotel the night before the game to pregame warm-up. You know, everything's going to be new, but at the same time, you know, football's football. So I feel as do everything I can to feel as prepared as I can on Saturday.
By the way, that's the coolest NFL hat I've ever seen.
It is a good hat.
That was a great lid. That's the coolest. That was nice.
Facing frontwards.
Yeah, by the way, show that again, guys. Do you guys, everybody notice where Trey Lance's hat was facing? It's a franchise quarterback. That was like a grown-up.
I'm just trolling. It is a nice hat, though.
It's a good-looking lid.
You know, we're being very hypocritical, you and I, though, because we trash the preseason every single year. But this year, there are actual learns
yes,
to be had in
that's
the preseason.
Right. It's usually junk, but the Bears, the Niners, the Jags...
I want to watch Miami's preseason. I want to see Tua.
Yeah, no, it's a good because these quarterbacks now, they want them to play earlier, so you get them right up
Packers.
Front. I can't wait. Plus, you know, we didn't get preseason last year, so it's a little fake football, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are. We're starved. We're ready for football. So it's hard to envision a scenario where Ben Simmons is with the 76ers next season, especially after he cut off all communication with the organization.
This is an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Well, one trade destination that has been rumored is Golden State.
Yeah.
But the Warriors are reportedly. Yes. Internally divided on whether or not he would be a good fit.
Well, yeah, this is it. You know, by the way, they should be because he is a two-sided coin here. The defense is great.
Right.
The indifference is maddening.
Well, and is he going to be a good fit with Draymond Green? Because the trade scenario that they are suggesting doesn't include sending Draymond Green to Philadelphia. It's a different package. So it would be Draymond Green and Ben Simmons and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And Ben Simmons and Draymond Green are not shooters.
Well,
now, Draymond isn't afraid to shoot, but he's not the shooter on that team.
I mean, what Draymond is a lot of the soul of the team.
Yes.
He's the tough guy. He's the bouncer.
Which is also a question of, is that going to work? Now, I think if there's not really a whole lot of good fits for Ben Simmons, if we really look at it, there's not a lot of places
there's not.
Where he can just plug in and go. But Golden State has a good culture. They know how to win. They are winners. The people who have won are still there. So I do think if he did go to Golden State, they would be the team that I would have faith would make it work.
My concern is Draymond is so authentic. and so brutally honest that he'll just confront Ben Simmons and say, bruh, that blankety blank ain't going to work here. And Ben Simmons, who's been pampered his whole career, he's not going to be able to handle it. So it's not a criticism. Draymond is real. I mean, Draymond and Kevin Durant, I mean, do they get along? Do they not? Well, the truth is, they still talk because they're like both, you know, they're both authentic right. guys. Like, Simmons does not appear to be the kind of guy that's going to be able to take massive criticism or abrupt opinion.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
That tough love. Well, a report from the Philly Voice of the relationship between Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers suffered significant damage that some believe can't be repaired.
Now, say that again. What did you just say?
That the relationship between Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers is not repairable. That is a report from the Philly Voice. Some believe that it cannot be repaired.
Yeah, well, then yeah, he should be. Regardless of that, he doesn't work. Let's get him out of town.
Yeah, I mean, they held on to the situation for too long. It's very obvious. They tried to force it, and this is why I think it's very important that the Mavs be very careful about what they do and what they put around Luka Doncic. You have Luka there. You have him signed now. Everything is not a good fit. Just because someone is a good player doesn't mean it's necessarily a good fit for your organization. Look for players, be a little patient, and put together things that work and complement each other. And personalities matter too. This didn't work. And now Philadelphia is kind of in a situation where they feel like they're going to try and get the most for him. And obviously Ben Simmons does still have a lot of value because of what he brings on the defensive side of the ball. But where is he going to fit? Where is he going to be able to plug in and be a winner when he... if it's not Golden State, like where else is there the culture that they have there? So your guy, Jalen Suggs, number 5 overall pick, lighting up summer league. He recorded a game high 16 points.
He's looked great.
He has 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal during the Magic's 94-84 loss to the Cavs last night.
He went fifth.
I love your play-by-play, Sal.
Oh, he went fifth. What a mistake. Orlando, congratulations on the steal of an entire annual year of NFL hockey baseball draft fifth.
It is a steal for Orlando. The other guys that have gone above him have been pretty good, too. So I don't know that it was
He looks so complete. Size.
This putback dunk was the highlight of the game.
It's one of the great plays I've ever seen in league history.
He is playing great, though. I love Summer League now. It's so exciting.
Oh, it's been great. I watched more of it. It's really fun. Now, it's been around forever, but it didn't get hot until now. Now, the last 4 or 5 years has been crazy. Zion. So,
well, you know, for everyone's talk about how, you know, all the leagues are dying and go broke. Sports are the last live thing on television. And that has extreme value in a world where we are completely distracted and you have a million options for entertainment. If you want to watch something live, sports is there. So sports are at an absolute premium more than they ever have been. So very smartly, the league started marketing Summer League. There you go.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. I love the Summer League.
Go broke.
Oh, good Lord. Hell. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
So I am somewhat reluctant to talk about this thing for the next 3 minutes. Because I'll be labeled a hater. Uncle Colin is not a hater. I have 6 kids. I'm full of love. So here is one of the harsh realities of life, and it doesn't seem fair, and maybe it isn't, maybe it is, but where you enter a company or a league is going to change how you're initially viewed. If you start in the mailroom of a company, you will not have the respect of the big boys, star employees up top. You won't. If you start in the vice president's office, you enter the company, and you're a vice president immediately, you got a corner office, drive the Mercedes, whether you're competent or not, you'll get a runway to make mistakes. The company is invested in you. It's the same in professional sports. If you're a first-round baseball draft pick, football draft pick, you will be given chances even if it's bumpy. Sam Darnold's been given another chance. How many coaches for Baker Mayfield, right? Because you're invested in them economically. This is fascinating. So Gardner Minshew's actually really talented. And this is not a criticism of Baker Mayfield. But Baker entered the league as a number one pick. Gardner Minshew was drafted 178. Gardner Minshew and Baker ran essentially the same offense in college. The difference is Baker was surrounded by Oklahoma Sooners. Gardner Minshew, a transfer, was surrounded by Washington State Cougars. Go look at their college numbers. It is bizarre. They're identical. For our radio audience, they're identical. 71% completion percentage, 4,700 yards. Minshew, 38 TDs, 9 picks. Baker, 43 touchdowns, 6 picks. Again, Baker playing with NFL wide receivers. Same size, by the way, same personality. They go to the NFL. Here are their career averages. They're identical. They are, by the way, the same size. They both complete about 62%. Actually, Minshew completes more, better passer rating. It's virtually identical. The difference, of course, much like college, is Baker has the best offensive line. Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, and the NFL head coach of the year last year. This is not a criticism of Baker Mayfield. It is a reality in American life that Minshew comes into the league number 178 and Baker comes in number one. And so they play the same. They talk the same. They have been in the same college offense. They've watched them play. When you watch Gardner Minshew, he plays like Baker. And we have a guy on our staff, Alex, who lives for the NFL. He has been on the Gardner Minshew thing for years. Is that Urban Meyer was asked yesterday, who's your starting quarterback? It's obviously Trevor Lawrence. Here's what Urban Meyer had to say.
Is there really a chance that you guys won't start Trevor Lawrence against Houston in a month?
Is there really a chance?
Yeah.
I think we'll answer that as it gets closer.
But it's still very much an open competition to see who gets that honor.
Yes.
It's the reality is he really doesn't have a chance to start. I mean, Urban will say that, but because they're bringing in Trevor Lawrence, is that if you just take off the fanboy hat or turn yours around, they're the same player. And that is not a knock on Baker. Gardner Minshew can play. I don't think Gardner Minshew is a great prospect, but I don't think Baker's a great prospect. But the difference is one comes in one comes in 178. They have played the same system, the same numbers. You hate Baker. No, I don't. But I think Gardner Minshew, and I admit when he came in, I hated the Washington State Cougars as a kid because they beat my Huskies, who are my favorite team as a kid. But I kind of made fun of his bandana, his mustache, and his goofiness. But I watched the guy play, and I'm like, if Baker's a starter in this league, Gardner Minshew can start in this league. Absolutely. And that shows you how high the floor is in the NFL. Gardner Minshew, I'll tell you right now, is better than Drew Locke. He's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you right now, he's better than Tua. I'll put it out there. He's better than Tua. He's more talented than Tua. But he entered the league at 178. Somebody is eventually just going to say, remember, they paid Nick Foles a fortune. Nick Foles entered the Jaguars rich. Couldn't win games. The offense was more lively when they had Gardner Minshew than Nick Foles. It's interesting. It's the way life works. How you enter a company will dictate how you are viewed and the number of mistakes you can make and chances you will get.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Escape QuickBooks quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system. Go to netsuite.com/herd right now. Visibility control with NetSuite. You know, we were talking about, you know, Gardner Minshew comes into the league so low, there's no expectations, and he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get first-round treatment. That's happens a lot in baseball, where if you're a round 30th pick, it's hard to make the big league club. You can be great in spring. You can hit 370, but they're not going to call you up because they want to make sure the first and second-round players that they invested in get more chances. It's just like acting. I know a handful of actors. 10% are great, Meryl Streep, right? 10% are hacks. 80%, who represents you? Who do you know? Who are your friends? Who are you connected to? Does the director push for you? Like 80% of actors are either, they're just forgetting. I mean, they're just fine. They're very competent. You could put them anywhere. They're totally competent. 10% are hacks. 10% are really jump off the screen. You know, Ed Norton, something like that, a Denzel. It's like, wow, they pop. Meryl Streep. Most are, how did you enter the film? How did you enter the industry? What are your connections? I mean, I could watch CSI for 1,000 years, and there's some of them pop, some don't. You could replace. That's a big show, right? Like, it's just, and that's a lot of this stuff in sports is you're going to be given multiple opportunities if you're a high pick. If Sam Darnold was a 6th-round pick and did what he did with the Jets, it's over. It is over. Done. So Trevor Lawrence is starting in Jacksonville, and that's just the way it's going to be. And he could, if he struggles for the first 2 years, Urban will take the hit. It will not be Trevor Lawrence. It'll be Urban. Urban just doesn't work there. That's the way. Mitch Trubisky was very clear very early. This ain't great. Didn't matter. He was a first-round pick. The general manager could not acknowledge, hey, I whiffed. Right? It's like really hard. So, by the way, Dak Prescott was talking yesterday. He's getting a second MRI about how he doesn't want to throw for 6,000 yards and be pass-heavy this year.
I don't want to throw for 6,000 yards, to be honest with you. That means we're not running the ball. That means we're not probably doing the things that we need to do to be a balanced winning team. Sure, it'd be great to have those numbers and to break that, but that, or to have that record or whatever it is, but that's not something that I put into my head.
By the way, fact time, no quarterback in the Super Bowl era who has led the NFL in passing yards has won the Super Bowl from 1970 to today, 51 years. Deshaun Watson led the NFL last year in passing yards, 4-12. Matt Ryan was 4. They were 4-12. Now, Mahomes and Brady were up there, but that's because they're great and have probably the two best receiving corps in the league, and they also have highly clever offensive coaches. So it doesn't mean if you throw for 4,000 yards, you're no good, but if you lead the league in it, it means a couple of things. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson have never led the NFL in passing yards. Why? They don't trail in the fourth quarter a ton. It generally means you're playing from behind, you're playing catch-up, and your defense stinks. If you told me today that Dak Prescott threw for between 4,900 and 5,200 yards, I tell you, Dallas is an average football team because he's in shootouts every week. You just cannot. And the issue for Dallas is going to be, it's going to be very tantalizing because their best unit is receiver. It's their greatest unit, and they have the most depth. So they really should throw the ball. CeeDee Lamb looks like a major hit. Amari Cooper is a B+, A-, excellent. And Michael Gallup can really play. So they're going to fall in love with the pass, and this has been a little bit, that was kind of the knock on Jason Garrett sometimes. He forgot the run game. It's easy to in Dallas because they've really drafted the wide receiver position very, very well. I mean, they had Cole Beasley as well. They could afford to let him go. So, but it's. I think it's the most overrated stat in football is passing yards. Almost always means you're on a bad team. There are underrated passing stats. I think fourth quarter comebacks are interesting. It's always been it. Some guys, Aaron Rodgers has a bizarrely low number of fourth quarter comebacks, and you could say, well, he's never behind. Well, Russell Wilson, who hasn't played as long, has more. Andy Dalton has more. Derek Carr has more. Matt Ryan has more. Your ability to come back says something about your kind of your DNA a little bit. Like some guys are Baylors. Some guys play very well comfortably. Aaron Rodgers plays very well when comfortable. When you trail in the fourth, your ability, they know you have to throw. You're facing a lot of pressure. Some guys, you know, we've seen this with Lamar. He plays better downhill than he does uphill. He plays better with a lead. I always think fourth quarter comebacks. By the way, Matt Stafford has a lot and hasn't won a ton of games, but it tells you he has the ability. That's why people still love Stafford. He has the ability, if given a close game late, he's not a Baylor. He'll battle back on you and come from behind. So I also think third down conversion rates for quarterbacks. It tells me you can audible at the line. It tells me you're good in crisis. It tells me, I mean, high third down conversion rates – in the NFL, there's almost always playoff teams. It tells me, do you have a good coordinator? Do you get a good push on the offensive line? Do you have effective short yardage running game? Can your quarterback audible out of trouble, audible in to opportunities? But passing yards means you're in, you know, gun shows every weekend, and that's just a bad – you're not going to win Super Bowls that way. Watson led it last year in the NFL. Simply Safe's been making people feel safe at home for the past 15 years. 20% off. That's a big number. 20% off your Simply Safe security system. And the first month is free. How? Go to SimplySafeColin.com, SimplySafeColin.com. Hour 3 in L.A. next.